When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today. So a couple years ago, I hit 40 years old, and man, did things change. I didn't have the same strength and vitality that I had before, and I didn't have what I wanted, and that was the ability to work out and have a blast doing it. So then the pounds started packing on. Well, thank goodness I found Chalk, C-H-O-Q, and they're helping real American men just like you maximize your masculinity by boosting your testosterone levels up to 20% over 90 days. Now, I've been taking the Chalk Vitality Stack for over a year now, and not only am I working out, I've now lost 50 pounds. So if you're ready to maximize your masculinity today, go to Chalk, C-H-O-Q.com, and use promo code Ben for a massive discount on any Chalk subscription for life. C-H-O-Q.com, code Ben, limited time offer. Subscription is cancelable at any time. Chalk.com. Welcome. It is Verdict with Senator Ted Cruz, Ben Ferguson with you. And on March the 18th, former President Donald Trump announced via Truth Social that he, quote, will be arrested on Tuesday of this coming week now. Protests take our nation back. A spokesman for President Trump stated that the former president has not received a notification from the Manhattan District Attorney's office regarding any potential indictment, and his post was highlighting his innocence. Senator, President Trump saying, hey, this is coming. Be ready for it. Be ready to protest. Let's talk about what he could be indicted for and how we got to this point with an activist DA in New York.
Well, let me say several things. Number one, obviously, this is a big damn deal. If the former president of the United States is arrested tomorrow, that is historic. It has never happened in the history of our nation that a former president of the United States has been arrested. Number two, the case from the Manhattan District Attorney, if they bring an indictment and charge him, is utter and complete crap. Actually, as groundskeeper Willie would put it on the Simpsons, it's crap! I tell you, it's crap! It is flimsy, it is weak, it has been rejected by prosecutor after prosecutor after prosecutor, and it is obviously political retribution and a political persecution. Number three, if this case is brought to the jury and the prosecutor loses, the richest irony of everything is it may be left-wing, Soros-funded Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg more than anyone else who will have reelected Donald Trump as president of the United States. Because this is, if you want to talk about how to unify Republicans behind Donald Trump in the primary, having an unhinged left-wing prosecution, complete with perhaps a perp walk for the cameras that ends up being thrown out and ends in failure, could be the single biggest in-kind gift to the Donald Trump campaign of this entire cycle.
Let's, before we get into the politics of this, I want to get to people so they understand who this district attorney is. This is a George Soros-backed district attorney. This is an activist DA. And as you mentioned, no one else was willing to do this, but I guess this is how he gets campaign contributions.
Well, unfortunately, that's right. Alvin Bragg is the district attorney in Manhattan. He is newly elected. He was supported by more than $1 million from George Soros. That's how he got elected. And one of the very first things he's done is dramatically reduce the prosecution of violent crime in New York. According to the Daily Mail in November of 2022, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg downgraded 52% of felony cases to misdemeanors, compared to 39% in all of 2019, according to new data. By the way, Bragg's conviction rate, even after downgrading the cases, his conviction rate is 51%. Barely half the cases his lawyers bring to trial get convicted. That's down from 68% in 2019. That is shockingly bad for a DA's office to have a conviction rate of 51%. And if you compare it, his predecessor was Cyrus Vance Jr., another left-wing Democrat DA. Between 2013 and 2020, former DA Cyrus Vance Jr. never exceeded 40% in the percentage of cases downgraded from felony to misdemeanor. Alvin Bragg has already gone up to 52%, and he campaigned on the promise of criminal justice reform, which in George Soros' world means letting violent criminals go. Now, here's the irony. This DA comes into office and he sets his hallmark of, if you're a violent criminal, if you assault someone, we're going to downgrade your crime from a felony to a misdemeanor. We're going to release you. We're going to let you commit yet more violent crimes in Manhattan. The irony is the legal theory that he is pursuing against Donald Trump in all likelihood will be an incredibly aggressive legal theory based on going the other way, on taking a misdemeanor and elevating it to a felony. And nobody is confused as to why he is doing this. He is doing this because he's a partisan Democrat and he hates Donald Trump. Now, he has a right to hate Donald Trump, but he doesn't have a right to abuse and corrupt the justice system to persecute his political opponents. And that, sadly, is exactly what he's doing here.
You talk about this persecution of your political opponents, and this goes back to what you warned about and spent a lot of time actually working on in your last book, Justice Corrupted, How the Left Weaponized Our Legal System. Now, you started this book back in January of last year. It came out in October. This book, and your mindset more than a year ago, was the worry that the left had gained control of our legal system and then was going to weaponize our legal system to take out political opponents. Now, George Soros has been funding this. He has done a damn good job, I give him credit, of basically turning upside down district attorneys' offices all over the country and using them for criminal justice reform, bail reform, jail reform, and defund the police or drive the police insane. The other thing that's done is it's then also allowed for them to weaponize and go after political opponents. Now, your entire book was basically warning America about this. You saw this coming and you realized that they were putting the pieces of this puzzle together. And here we are now with a president of the United States of America that may have a mugshot this week.
Well, unfortunately, I did see this coming. You're right, the book. I spent much of last year writing the book. It came out in October. And it goes into depth on how the left is weaponizing our legal system. There's an entire chapter on George Soros DAs, on the millions of dollars that Soros has spent putting radicals in the position of district attorney. District attorney races used to be sleepy races, typically between people who are both prosecutors, who are both campaigning on, we're going to lock up the bad guys, we're going to put violent criminals in jail. And you'd have a back and forth on competence, often without a whole lot of partisanship. Soros has invested tens of millions of dollars in putting radicals, people like Alvin Bragg, in this position because he understands power. I will give Soros credit. He has found the weak points in our democracy and our rule of law, and he has devoted millions of dollars to attacking those weak points, which have been having tremendous negative effect. And so there's an entire chapter in Justice Corrupted that explains what specifically the Soros DAs are doing. There's also an entire chapter that goes through Crossfire Hurricane, how the Department of Justice and the FBI were weaponized against Donald Trump, were used to attack the person who was then the Republican nominee to be president, and then once he became president, the hardcore partisans that had burrowed into DOJ and the FBI continued that witch hunt against him, and the book details that at great length. And so I would encourage you, if you want to understand what is going on right now with the Biden DOJ and this George Soros prosecutor targeting Trump, go buy the book, Justice Corrupted. It just came out a couple of months ago, and it walks you through the details of what happened.
I want to get into the play-by-play of if, in fact, the president is indicted. How does that go through the process? How will he be arraigned? Will there be mugshots? How all that happens for people so they understand how this could play out with him saying, I'm going to be arrested. That's the president's words, former President Donald Trump's words. Before I get to that, though, I want to talk to you about Augusta Precious Metals. You've seen what's been happening with banks. You've seen what's been happening on Wall Street just over the last couple of weeks. This is exactly why I've been telling you about Augusta Precious Metals. If you want to protect your hard-earned dollars, especially if you're close to retirement or in retirement, you understand protecting your money is what you're focused on. That is what Augusta Precious Metals can help you do. I'm excited to tell you about a company not only that I trust, but also that I use. Augusta Precious Metals is different. They will even tell you if a gold IRA isn't your answer. Now, Augusta Precious Metals is all about protecting your IRAs, your 401ks, in this crazy economic time that we're in right now. And if you are close to retirement or in retirement, you know there is no time to make up losses. So if you've saved $100,000 or more, take a look at their free guide. And most importantly, sign up for their live free web conference. Both are filled with economic insights and gold IRA info for your peace of mind. Call Augusta Precious Metals, 877, the number 4, Gold IRA, 877-4 Gold IRA, or visit AugustaPreciousMetals.com. Say that I sent you, Ben, and they'll pay your fees up to 10 years. That's AugustaPreciousMetals.com or 877-4 Gold IRA. So I want to go back to the former President Trump's tweet, Senator, and he says, look, I'm going to be arrested. This is going to happen. If this does happen, is there a very, I mean, is there going to be a mugshot of Donald Trump? And is that going to be victory for the Democrats? And how does this go? How does this happen? How are his attorneys brought into this? Tell people how this will play out legally.
So presumably there will be a mugshot if he is in fact arrested. There are a couple of ways they can do it. Typically, when you have an attorney who's represented by counsel and an arrest warrant is issued, you typically will give that client the opportunity to turn himself in, particularly when the client is not a flight risk. We saw recently, in fact, I think last week's pod discussed how the Biden DOJ sent over 20 FBI agents to the house of Mark Houck, who was a pro-life activist. They showed up with body armor and helmets and machine guns and arrested him at the crack of dawn in front of his wife and seven children who were crying. That was utterly unnecessary. In that instance, Mark Houck, his attorney had offered, okay, if you're going to prosecute him, he'll turn himself in. And the Biden DOJ said, no, we want to come raid you. Likewise, we saw the Biden FBI raided Mar-a-Lago searching for documents. There was a sharp contrast, a double standard between how they raided Mar-a-Lago searching for documents, but they were perfectly happy to let Joe Biden's attorneys turn over one set of classified documents after another, after another, after another, because this is political and partisan justice. In any sane world, if they issue an arrest warrant, they will allow Trump to turn himself in, and they won't actually try to forcibly arrest him. I think that's likely. But if there is an arrest, there presumably will be a mugshot. There is an entire canon of politician mugshots. Unfortunately, we've seen politicized prosecutions before. There is a question about, does the politician smile or not? You may remember Tom DeLay when he was indicted. You may remember Rick Perry when he was indicted. And smiling is one thing. It leads to kind of a strange mugshot when you have a picture of someone in front of the hash marks for the different height levels and holding a little placard with their name and number on it. And if they're smiling like a politician, it's often quite dissonant. I don't know how Trump will handle that, but will the media and the Democrats go crazy if there's a Trump mugshot? Of course they will. But at the end of the day, I think the image matters less than the facts in reality. And let me explain why this case is crap. So this all stems back to 2016, which was 2016 was a long time ago. That was 7 years ago. And in 2016, Trump allegedly paid $130,000 to Stormy Daniels. You remember Stormy Daniels, who was a stripper and porn star and allegedly had an affair with Trump. And the allegation is that Trump paid $130,000 of hush money, basically paid her $130,000 to keep quiet because in 2016 he was running for president and he didn't want a bunch of stories about his affair with Stormy Daniels. The person who allegedly delivered the money was Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen was, of course, Trump's personal lawyer. He was often involved in pretty shady conduct. Michael Cohen himself has now served prison time. He has turned hard on Trump. He hates Trump. Michael Cohen is the chief witness for the prosecution in this instance. And look, as an ordinary matter, paying someone hush money is not typically illegal. You know, if you paid me $1,000 not to tweet out that I saw you mowing your lawn in a pink tutu last week,
if that was true, I would pay you more than $1,000. But keep going.
Look, that might be entirely understandable, and it might be $2,000 to delete the photo I took on my iPhone if you're doing so. But doing that is not illegal. Like paying someone to do something, not to do something, that on the face of it is not illegal. So what is it that the DA is trying to say is illegal? And by the way, look, unfortunately, people in both parties, men and women, have affairs. They shouldn't. Affairs destroy marriages, destroy lives. But this is not the first time that has happened in the history of the world. Paying an adulterous lover to keep quiet is something an awful lot of Democrats, an awful lot of Republicans have done. It's not good or right or moral. It is typically not illegal to do. So what is the Manhattan DA's theory here? Well, it's based on something called New York Penal Law 175.05. That is a statute that makes it a crime when an individual, number one, makes or causes a false entry in the business records of an enterprise, or two, alters, erases, obliterates, deletes, removes, or destroys a true entry in the business records of an enterprise, or three, omits to make a true entry in the business records of an enterprise in violation of a duty to do so, which he knows to be imposed on him by law or the nature of his position, or four, prevents the making of a true entry or causes the omission thereof in the business records of an enterprise. Now, what the heck does that mean? It's a bookkeeping requirement. It's basically don't keep bogus books. Don't keep fake books in a business. Now, the allegation here is that the $130,000 was recorded as legal expenses because Trump paid Michael Cohen $130,000 when in fact it was not legal expenses in the sense of paying the hourly rate of your lawyer, but it was money that was given to Stormy Daniels to keep quiet. So that's the allegation. Now, it actually gets more complicated than that, because New York Penal Law 175.05 is a second degree Class A misdemeanor, which has a maximum jail sentence of 1 year and has a 2-year statute of limitations, which means the DA can't charge Trump for something that happened 7 years ago as a misdemeanor because the statute of limitations has run. So what would the DA do? Well, there's a second provision, which is New York Penal Law 175.10. That is a felony. And for it to be a felony, which has a longer statute of limitations, the prosecutor must prove that Trump committed the misdemeanor business record falsifications and that his intent to defraud includes an intent to commit another crime or to aid in concealing the commission of another crime. So he's got to piggyback. Not just was this a bogus business record, but it was done to hide the commission of another crime. And presumably, the theory for the other crime would be some sort of election, federal election violation, that this money was somehow a campaign expenditure that you were hiding. It would be something like that. Now, number one, the Mueller report already examined this exact issue. Did Donald Trump commit a federal campaign violation through the alleged $130,000 hush payment to Stormy Daniels? And Mueller decided not to prosecute, decided there was not enough here to prosecute. The Southern District of New York, the U.S. prosecutor in New York, and I think it's fair to say there is no love lost between the Southern District of New York and Donald Trump. They decided not to prosecute because the evidence, A, because Michael Cohen is an exceptionally unreliable witness. Someone would have, I think, serious credibility problems. But B, because this is really, really attenuated. Look, they actually tried to prosecute John Edwards. Remember John Edwards, the former Democrat Sure. senator who did the same thing, paid off his mistress to keep her quiet, and they went after him, alleging that that was really a campaign expenditure, and they lost. The jury said, get the hell out of here, and they lost. So in this instance, the Manhattan DA has to piggyback one alleged state violation on another alleged federal violation, both of which are exceptionally weak. Legally, this is about as flimsy a case as you can imagine.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey, Ben Ferguson here, and if you're an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be a part of your investment portfolio. I want you to visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns when you invest with Labrador Energy, you have access to potential tax benefits, and you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Labrador's core executive team has more than 190 years of combined oil and gas experience and has drilled thousands of oil and gas wells. They are dedicated to mitigating risk while providing accredited investors with sound returns. So visit LabradorEnergy.com. American energy independence is crucial for our national security and future prosperity, and Labrador Energy is leading the charge to make that a reality. Invest in U.S. oil and gas today. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
If this case is tried, how does that play out? He's indicted. You get a mugshot. Is there a trial date that would then be set? Because the question is going to be, how does that affect the president's run for the presidency? He's already announced he's going to run again, Senator. So how does that play out? And do you go to trial quickly so it's not in the middle of an election? Or does this just, could it be held up in court for a year or two? And how does that play out politically?
So usually you would go to court relatively quickly on this sort of thing. Now, I will readily admit I have not practiced law in New York state courts. I've certainly not practiced criminal law in New York state courts. So I don't have personal familiarity with trying a case like this in New York state courts. That being said, typically for a criminal provision, there's a speedy trial obligation, and this would ordinarily proceed relatively quickly. The first step would be the district attorney going and getting an indictment from a grand jury. Now, given the politics in New York, I suspect it would be very easy to get an indictment. When you get an indictment from a grand jury, the criminal defendant isn't in there. Your lawyer doesn't get to make an argument to the grand jury as to why you shouldn't be indicted. And so that leads to the old aphorism that a prosecutor could indict a ham sandwich. And so I think if the DA decides to go seek an indictment, he'll get an indictment in all likelihood. But bringing this case to the jury is going to be exceptionally difficult. Even a biased jury of partisan Democrats, the evidence here is really flimsy. Look, number one, listen, I think cases where people are engaged in sexual infidelities and trying to cover it up, there's been a long history of politicians doing that. Donald Trump is not the first politician alleged to have done that. Obviously, Bill Clinton famously had a career involved in doing this. John Edwards had these issues. I think juries are often skeptical of holding people accountable for what they view as essentially private and personal failings rather than official corruption. I think a lot of juries are not going to be eager to convict, particularly the first criminal conviction of a former president of the United States in the history of our nation. I think there is an understanding that if that is going to happen, the threshold needs to be significant. It shouldn't be some little ticky-tack bookkeeping claim that if Trump's name were Donald Smith, the chances that Alvin Bragg would be bringing this case are zero. It is 100% because he hates Donald Trump why this case will be brought. I'll point out also, look, we've talked a lot in the podcast about how I believe the Biden Department of Justice wants to indict Trump. And I think Merrick Garland personally wants to indict Trump on federal charges that if brought, I think would be more serious than these charges that apparently are going to be brought this week. But Merrick Garland's effort has gotten much, much more complicated because I think DOJ was on the verge of indicting Trump for the classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. When suddenly Joe Biden appeared to have classified documents just about everywhere, almost stuck in the glove compartment of his Corvette. I mean, and as we talked about in this podcast, look, legally, that's not technically a problem, but it creates an obvious political problem because the double standard is evident. If the Biden DOJ says, if Trump has classified documents, we want to put him in jail, but if Biden has classified documents at his home, no biggie, all good with us. Even people not paying attention say, wait a second, that's a double standard. Well, here's a huge double standard with the Alvin Bragg potential prosecution of Trump, which is the theory that he's basing it on, that Trump gave $130,000, recorded it as legal fees, when in fact it was hush money to Stormy Daniels. Well, that is precisely the charge that was raised against Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton funded the so-called Steele dossier. This is something, again, that I discuss at great length in the book Justice Corrupted. The Steele dossier, the Hillary Clinton campaign paid over $1 million to make the Steele dossier, which is, it's a work of fiction. It is a political hit job. But she covered up the payments for making the Steele dossier by calling those payments legal fees. So she did the exact same thing Donald Trump is accused of doing. Well,
and to be clear, she was not indicted. I want to make that very clear, remind people of the double standard here.
She was not indicted. By the way, she's a resident of New York, so she could have been indicted under this statute by this DA. And by the way, she did it at the same time Trump was doing this. This is the 2016 election. So she literally did exactly the same thing at exactly the same place at exactly the same time. But Alvin Bragg is a Democrat, so he doesn't want to indict Hillary Clinton, even though their conduct was identical. Although, let me put in a caveat, I have no evidence to suggest that Hillary Clinton had a sexual relationship with Stormy Daniels. So that conduct, I'm not suggesting, was identical. But the payments that are called legal fees, they both did the exact same thing. How the hell do you just go after the opposing party and not your own party's nominee?
I got to ask you also about the timing of this. There was big breaking news that the Biden crime family had expanded this past week with payments coming from the Chinese Communist government's, you know, these sectors and jobs that were sending cash back to the Biden crime family, now has expanded to more family members. And exactly the same week that happens, this story breaks. Now, before I get your reaction to that, I want to tell you about Patriot Mobile. If you're a conservative and you care about working and standing with companies that actually protect and defend your values, one way you can stand up for what you believe in is by switching your cell phone to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is growing, and they are the largest and only conservative Christian cell phone provider in the country. Now, here's the part that you're going to love. They take a portion of your bill every month at no extra cost to you and give it back to conservative causes and organizations that you stand for. We're talking about protecting and defending our First and our Second Amendment rights, standing up for unborn children, and even helping with adoptions. With Patriot Mobile, you get great cell phone service, the same coverage you have right now. You get to keep your same cell phone number, and many times you can keep your same cell phone if you want to or upgrade to a new one. While paying that bill every month, you stand up for what you believe in. So call them. 878-PATRIOT is the number. 878-PATRIOT. Use the promo code VERDICT and you'll get the best deals of the day. 878-PATRIOT or online at patriotmobile.com. That's patriotmobile.com/verdict. Senator, I want to go back to the point I was making a moment ago, and that is this week was a really big week in the news area, to the point where even Biden's team had to respond, Hunter Biden's team had to respond about these new allegations that there was millions coming in from shady Chinese companies that are directly tied to the communist government, and expanded the list of people with the last name Biden who were receiving these funds from these shady business deals that were all being run through Hunter and James Biden. Then, in the middle of the same week when this happens and they're forced to respond, bam, we're hearing about an indictment of Donald Trump. Is there any connection in your mind between these timing of these two stories?
Look, I don't know that that was the driving factor for Alvin Bragg. My suspicion is Bragg is not a big fan of Biden either. So I doubt that that was his driving motivation to cover up for the growing evidence of Biden family corruption. Now, I will say, you know, you pointed out, you said last week was a big week. My reaction listening to that was to chuckle. I'm like, well, wait a second. How could that possibly be? I didn't see it on CNN. I didn't see it on ABC or CBS or NBC. Like, the corporate media just ignores the evidence. So if you listen to this podcast, you know the facts. If you listen to a handful of conservative media outlets, you can find at least some of the facts. But the corporate media utterly ignores it. So my suspicion about the timing is it was less that Bragg is driven by wanting to change the media story. But the instant this began happening, I think the media was more than eager to jump all over it and change the topic, because they certainly didn't want to be forced to discuss the evidence that came out last week that up to four Biden family members now collectively received over $1 million from the Chinese communists. That's a big, big deal. The media doesn't want anyone to know about it. And so the best way to do that is to talk instead about who Trump was sleeping with a decade ago. And if we can talk about porn stars and distract people from the sitting president and his family receiving over $1 million from the Chinese communist, well, that's convenient for the political narrative from the corporate media.
One of the things that the media is covering is Donald Trump, and they're now saying that he is threatening violence again. He put out a message about his possible arrest. And I want people to be able to hear what Trump had to say quickly. And then I want you to hear CNN clearly take him out of context, treating him like he's a domestic terrorist. Here's Trump in his own words.
These four horrible radical left Democrat investigations of your all-time favorite president, me, is just a continuation of the most disgusting witch hunt in the history of our country. It's gone on forever with Russia, 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 and Ukraine, 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 and the Mueller hoax. It's an absolute disgrace what's going on. They even spied on my campaign. And remember this, with all of the work that they did on Mueller, no collusion. That's what the answer was all no collusion. Whether it's the Mar-a-Lago raid or the Unselect Committee hoax, the perfect Georgia phone call, it was absolutely perfect, or the Stormy Horseface Daniels extortion plot, they're all sick, and it's fake news. Our enemies are desperate to stop us because they know that we are the only ones who can stop them, and they know it very strongly. And they're looking at the polls where, not me, but we are up by so much. They can't even believe it.
Now, you hear him say that, and how does CNN spin it? They say that the president of the United States of America is threatening violence again, and he should be treated basically like a domestic terrorist. Here's CNN in their own words.
Your reaction to Trump's claim that he will be arrested Tuesday, his calls for protests, and by the way, the Manhattan DA's office still not confirming that there is any imminent arrest or indictment that is scheduled for Tuesday.
Right. And that's part of the story, that he's putting a specific date on it, that the DA's office is not. But obviously the larger point is the one, Fred, that you mentioned. If you are the most sympathetic observer possible to Donald Trump and you do double backflips, you can find some credence in his argument that on January 6th, he did not know that his language would lead to violence. But January 6th has now happened. He knows the effect of the language that he used mm-hmm. that day and how it led to violence. And here he is coming very close to that language again. It makes it very hard to avoid the conclusion that he is willing to use the threat of violence as part of his political strategy. And that is just a reminder of the very different era we are in than we have been at any point in American history, where you have Trump, the leader of a political movement, who is routinely willing to raise the specter of violence as a way of advancing his goals. And so many conservative commentators and members of Congress who have condemned preemptively the possibility of indictment remain silent on his raising this threat of violence. So that, I think, is just enormously significant and a marker of the very different era that we are in politically than we have ever been in before.
I mean, they're pretty much calling out what I do. They're calling out you, Senator, saying as a member of Congress, and basically saying that you're aiding and abetting a domestic terrorist who's now calling for a massive uprising in the country. That's not what I heard from Donald Trump. I heard a former president saying this is an activist DA who's gone rogue yet again with four different times. They're batting 0-for-3 on the first ones, and now they're going at me again.
CNN is not a news organization. They are a left-wing propaganda outlet. And they lie for a living. Every word of that diatribe, including and, but, and the, were lies. Nothing Trump said was a call for violence. If you look at his Truth Social post, he said, quote, he will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Protest, take our nation back. Now, the last I checked, the word protest is not the same thing as riot. It is not commit violence. The last I checked, the First Amendment to the Constitution, the very first protection in the Bill of Rights, protects our right to protest, our right to stand up and speak out. And what the left does, and in fact what the left has done since January 6th, is they've tried to smear the thousands of people who engaged in peaceful protests. They tried to smear those protesters with the violent action of a much smaller cohort. My view is simple and is consistent. If you commit violence, you should go to jail. The irony is that whole screed from CNN, the right does not excuse violence. If you commit violence, if you assault a police officer, you ought to be in a jail cell a long damn time. But you know who does excuse violence? The left. The Democrat Party, the media, the CNN happily sat there cooing about the Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots across the country, listening while Democrats called it a summer of love, as great American cities burned, as police cars were firebombed, as stores were looted, as police officers were murdered. Now, let's be clear. The Black Lives Matter riots, there were some people engaged in peaceful protests. They had a right to do that. but there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people engaged in organized acts of violence, and the Democrats turned a blind eye to it. The media not only ignored it, they celebrated it. And Kamala Harris went so far as to raise bail money to bail out of jail the violent criminals committing acts of violence. And you don't have to go back 3 years ago. You can go to right now. Right now, you have aggressive, threatening rioters outside of the homes of Supreme Court justices, threatening the justices and their families, threatening their children. Their conduct is a federal crime. And we have an attorney general under Joe Biden who just ignores the law, refuses to enforce that law. Why? Because he and the Biden White House agree with the people who are committing criminal offenses. They are quite content to use threats of violence to advance their political ends. By the way, they're also not investing resources in prosecuting the people who are firebombing crisis pregnancy centers across the country. Why? Because they are perfectly happy to use violence for their ends. So look, Marxists, what they accuse you of doing, typically they are doing. And CNN illustrated that right there and then. That was not a call for violence. And let's be clear, my hope, my prayer, my urging to everyone is no one should engage in violence this week or any other week. But peaceful protesting, speaking out, that is protected by the Constitution, and that is good for America.
I want to ask you one final question about an eligibility issue. There's so much misinformation out there, Senator, about if the president is A, indicted, is he ineligible to be president? And B, if he is convicted before Election Day in E1, would he be ineligible? Before I get you to answer that, I want to tell everybody about our friends over at Chalk. If you're a guy and you're getting a little bit older and you feel like you've lost some of that strength and vitality, you're feeling a bit weak and just that complacency, then you need to hear what Chalk can do for you. The problem is pretty simple. Men's testosterone levels are off a cliff historically at an all-time low. The Patriots at Chalk are here to help real American men take back their right to proudly maximize your masculinity by boosting testosterone levels up to 20% over 90 days. Now, you're going to ask the question, does it work? I've been doing this now for about 60 days. I can tell you it does. I've been taking Chalk, C-H-O-Q, and the Male Vitality Stack is what I've been using. It works. It's manufactured right here in the U.S. of A. Chalk's natural herbal supplements are clinically proven to have game-changing effects on your energy, your focus. Check out Chalk, CHOQ.com. Use the promo code BEN for 35% off any Chalk subscription for life. You can cancel anytime as well. CHOQ.com. Use the promo code BEN. That's CHOQ.com. Finally, Senator, there's so much misinformation out there, and I've seen a lot of fodder about this. People saying, well, the Democrats win if they indict Donald Trump. That means he's ineligible to be president. I've seen others that have said, well, if he's indicted, they'll rush to a jury trial, because if he is convicted, then he'll be ineligible to be president. What does the law actually say?
Well, it doesn't say any of that. So, first of all, there is no prohibition on someone who is indicted running for president. There's no prohibition on someone who is indicted being elected president. Sadly, we have seen far too many political officials, both candidates and office holders, indicted for political and partisan reasons. In my book, Justice Corrupted, and look, this podcast wasn't supposed to entirely focus on the book, but the entire book is written on what's happening right now. I talked about DOJ's prosecution of Ted Stevens. Ted Stevens was a senator from Alaska. He was a Republican. He was an incredibly long-serving senator. The Department of Justice brought a corruption case against him, tried him, and he ended up being defeated in the on Election Day. A Democrat won the Alaska Senate seat. Subsequently, it turned out the prosecution had engaged in massive misconduct, and the entire thing was a political persecution. It was designed to do what it did, which is weaken him politically and let the Democrat win. Likewise, I talk about in the book the prosecution of Bob Menendez. Bob Menendez was a Democrat senator, And DOJ announced that they leaked an indictment against Bob Menendez for misuse of campaign funds. But they did it literally the day that Bob Menendez announced his opposition to the Biden-Iran nuclear deal. The Biden White House was mad at him because he was a Democrat opposing the catastrophic Iran nuclear agreement. And so their DOJ, in a naked act of politics, they leaked then. They leaked then in order to punish Menendez for daring oppose the White House. By the way, we see the Biden DOJ doing political leaks constantly. At the end of the day, the Menendez case went to trial and they lost at trial. So there are no consequences other than political for being indicted. And the question is, well, what if you're convicted? Well, if you're convicted, that doesn't mean you're ineligible to run for president or be president either. It's happened in the past. For example, the socialist Eugene Debs ran for president four times in the early 1900s, and he was a candidate while he was in jail. So he was literally, as a socialist, in jail, running for president. And the Constitution, Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, provides the qualifications for president. And nothing in that clause precludes felons, precludes people who are incarcerated from running for president or serving as president. There is just one mechanism that could theoretically happen, which is if Trump were prosecuted, if he were convicted, and if the House of Representatives were subsequently to impeach him yet again, and if the Senate were to convict him in what would now be his third impeachment trial, one of the penalties that the Senate can impose in the impeachment of a president is to prohibit him from running for office in the future. So that is a penalty that is theoretically possible, but it would take the House of Representatives, which is controlled by a Republican majority, and it would take two-thirds of the Senate to impeach and then convict Trump and make him ineligible for office. The chances of that happening, I can quantify precisely, are 0.00%. This is a Democrat fever dream. This is a corporate media fever dream. The consequences of this are purely political. And I want to underscore, Alvin Bragg, you know, sometimes Donald Trump, in many respects, has enjoyed a great deal of luck in his life. And one of the areas where he's enjoyed a lot of luck is in having the right enemies. There were times where the Trump presidency was in difficult straits, and yet the Democrats and media hated him so much that they were so over the top attacking him that it had the reverse effect and it rallied voters behind him. And they said, you know, if those SOBs hate him that much, he's got to be the right guy. That dynamic is very much alive here. I'll tell you, if I were a partisan Democrat, if I wanted a Democrat to win in 2024 as president, I would be beside myself right now that this clown from Manhattan is going to bring a case that is ridiculous, that is legally weak. And in fact, here, I'll read you what Jonathan Turley. Jonathan Turley is a law professor, very smart, well-respected law professor, left of center, but willing to speak the truth even when it doesn't further Democrats' interest. Here's what Turley wrote last week in The Hill. Quote, Trump faces serious legal threats in the ongoing Mar-a-Lago investigation, but the New York case would be easily dismissed outside of a jurisdiction like New York, where Bragg can count on highly motivated judges and jurors. Although it may be politically popular, the case is legally pathetic. Bragg is struggling to twist state laws to effectively prosecute a federal case long ago rejected by the Justice Department against Trump over his payment of hush money to former stripper Stormy Daniels. If Bragg brings this case and he tries it to a jury and he loses, which is what should happen, if Trump wins at trial, that single action could be the single most decisive action that elects Trump as president, that helps him win the Republican nomination, number one, but that helps him win the general, number two. If I were a partisan Democrat, I would be crying in my beer right now that they are so extreme, so partisan, so abusive that they are driving the American people the other direction.
Elon Musk, as he put it in a tweet, he said if they do this, he believes that Donald Trump will get reelected in a landslide just for the reason that you just mentioned there. If you're listening to Verdict and you have never hit that subscriber auto download button, this is the time to do it because this week, I promise you, is going to be a week you don't want to miss any of our episodes. And if this does happen, I can promise you we're going to get you a response right away. So make sure you subscribe to Verdict. Download it wherever you get your podcast. Share this podcast with your family and friends. And most importantly, please write us a 5-star review. It helps us reach a bigger audience. And we'll see you back here in a couple of days.
Ben Ferguson here. And if you're an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be a part of your investment portfolio. And I want you to visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investments to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Energy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that historically delivers sound returns. Learn more now at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
So a couple years ago, I hit 40 years old, and man, did things change. I didn't have the same strength and vitality that I had before, and I didn't have what I wanted, and that was the ability to work out and have a blast doing it. So then the pounds started packing on. Well, thank goodness I found Chalk, C-H-O-Q, and they're helping real American men just like you maximize your masculinity by boosting your testosterone levels up to 20% over 90 days. Now, I've been taking the Chalk Vitality Stack for over a year now, and not only am I working out, I've now lost 50 pounds. So if you're ready to maximize your masculinity today, go to Chalk, C-H-O-Q.com, and use promo code Ben for a massive discount on any Chalk subscription for life. C-H-O-Q.com, code Ben, limited time offer. Subscription is cancelable at any time. Chalk.com.